Hello, and welcome to our call. Free talk today on Keep Your Cool, How to Stay Chill in the Heat of the Summer. And I'm super excited to share this information with you guys, as always. What's really fun for me is that I get to put together information that's also helpful for myself. And it's really always intriguing and interesting to learn more about little details, what we can do for ourselves to feel better. So welcome to the call. My name is Anna Welly, and I have the lines are muted so that there is no background noise, but I can, if there's time at the end, I'll unmute them for any questions we might have. So my name is Anna Welly, and I'm an Ayurveda practitioner and yoga health coach. I started studying Ayurveda on myself about 7 years ago, just through books that I would read and practicing the different suggestions and lifestyle practices and self-care and things on myself. And when I really started getting into it, I discovered that it could be formally studied. So I enrolled in school at Kerala Academy and through the San Francisco Bay Area and studied there for about 3 years and became a practitioner and did a clinical internship in India at an Ayurvedic hospital and got to see so many of the benefits of this kind of this ancient medicine and science on people that have very serious ailments and that were like, you know, very pretty sick or had some like serious issues or trauma or anything like that, and got to witness how Ayurveda could help them. Just within like the 4 months, it was amazing to see what it did to some of the patients there. It was really inspiring, really awesome. And through my time in India and also just by living in California, I see clients one-on-one. And I guess also while I was in India and I was traveling, I had like the great fortune of meeting my guru through, you know, through many years of like kind of being committed on my own personal path and meeting a lot of different masters or just like awakened beings and going through different, you know, processes with each one of them. But finally meeting Sri Muji and had the pleasure and the gift and blessing of sitting with him for a few months while in northern India, and I'm still maintaining my connection with him, which is really beautiful. So those are kind of all the things that I have to share with you guys, and including that and being certified as a yoga health coach, which is basically coaching, like enables me to assist people on making really slow but steady stress-free changes in your daily habits and routines, patterns that you have, and whatever specific ways of being to kind of get into those and unlock that and shift you into new patterns to create a new structure of where you can go and how you feel in your body, mind, and spirit, and how to really like witness and experience like really significant changes in short periods of time. It's pretty awesome. And then having the capability of maintaining those changes and staying with them to have an awesome impact on your health. So what I'd like to talk to you about today is mainly the Pitta dosha and what Pitta is and how we experience it, good and the bad, and advice on keeping it in balance. So Pitta is one of three doshas in Ayurveda, and all three doshas arise from the five main elements: space, air, fire, water, and earth. And Pitta is comprised of fire and water. Everything in nature is comprised of an or different array of elemental combinations, and everything is some portion of at least one of those elements, if not all five. And we all have Pitta within us, and some have more than others, and Pitta can also be seen in a variety of places, not only in our body, but also in the universe. So different places in nature, in the little places and the big places. The Pitta time of year is in the summertime when the sun or the fire has its strongest impact on the earth. And the Pitta time of day is 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and then again from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. in our bodies, the seat of Pitta resides in the small intestine, right where the bottom of the stomach meets the small intestine, and specifically the bile or acidic fire that transforms our food and nourishment is Pitta. This bile, or concentration of Pitta, is scientifically proven to be the strongest around noon. And this just follows into the Ayurvedic cycles of energy throughout the day, with Pitta being the strongest at noon during its cycle of 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pitta is also closely related to our blood, our skin, and our eyes. During the Pitta night cycle from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., the liver cleanses the blood, and our metabolic fires go to work on the other tissues and organs in the body. And so we have a daily cycle, a yearly cycle, and also the life cycle of the doshic energies. And the Pitta phase of life is mainly adolescence into menopause. So for those that have less Pitta in their system, who naturally have more space, air, or earth qualities, this time of life is quite more pleasant and easy. And where you have more Pitta qualities in your body, there's more of an intensity of experiencing either puberty or menopause or just that specific Pitta life cycle. And the same goes for all Pitta times. If you already have a lot of Pitta in your body, whenever you add more, such as during the summertime, around noon, being in the hot sun, having spicy foods, you're going to be more influenced by that Pitta, that fire. And this just illustrates the concept in Ayurveda of like increases like and opposites balance. When Pitta is balanced, it brings light, radiance, energy, and transformation. The positive attributes of Pitta include ambition, concentration, confidence, courage, enthusiasm for knowledge, happiness, and intelligence. And physically, Pitta governs all transformations within the mind and body. It's the fire responsible for digestion, absorption, and assimilation of the food, of maintaining our body temperature, creating hunger and thirst, the luster in our eyes and skin, vision, comprehension of sensory stimuli, assimilation of thoughts, recognition, discrimination, intellect, comprehension and reasoning capacity, confidence, and cheerfulness. And when Pitta becomes excessive, it moves in the wrong direction or is unbalanced in any way, there can be an array of signs and symptoms. And typically, we create kind of a weak spot in a specific organ or tissue of the body, and that's where we see the reoccurring issues of how Pitta or any health problem is expressing itself. So signs of excessive Pitta include sensitivity to heat or hot flashes, rashes, boils, hives, eczema, and burns on the skin, inflammation, hemorrhages, bleeding gums, bloodshot eyes, dizziness, lightheadedness, fatigue, and insomnia, headaches and migraines, profuse sweating, sweaty palms, a sour smell or like an intense body odor, nausea, diarrhea, or loose stools, hyperacidity, acid indigestion, heartburn, ulceration, feeling burnt out and stressed out, impatience, irritability, and annoyance, anger, judgment, jealousy, envy, and rejection, criticism, sharp mind and opinions, cynical, being aloof and wanting to always be alone, or undue perfectionism, overpowering control, and manipulation. And mainly these symptoms are related to high fire and water or an intensification of the main qualities of Pitta, which are oily, sharp, liquid, light, and hot. So typically these show up in the blood, the skin, the eyes, the liver, and the lower stomach or small intestine. But our bodies and our lives are all very unique with a lot of differing factors, and that can give very unique expressions and how like Pitta might show up in your body or mind. So in my opinion, one of the biggest impacts a Pitta imbalance can have is on relationships. When Pitta gets really high and your mental, emotional state is influenced, the temperament can be really detrimental to how you relate and commune with the people around you. A sharp tongue, critical eye, jealousy, criticism, irritability, short temper, hyper-control and possessiveness all have a really harsh impact on anyone that we relate with. And if you can see or notice any of these emotions as something that frequents your life, it's like you might want to ask yourself how it's been impacting other people and to what degree. Like thinking about how do you treat strangers poorly? Or what about your coworkers and friends? How is it affecting more personal relationships, such as your partner and close family? I think just having one or a few outbursts of pitta can really color impact a relationship in a bad way. And it's the type of thing where you might like lash out or have a heated reaction or kind of an outburst, but it's like a sharp, hurtful comment or opinion, and then later come to regret it. And of course, you know, there's always the power of forgiveness, but like these things that can never really be taken back, in the worst way, it might cost you relationship as a whole. If pitta is always kind of bursting out, if you're always having a short temper, control issues, you're being like really critical, or just having that like kind of sharp tongue and sharp attitude. And as the summer rolls on and the days get hotter and hotter and more dry, you might also notice that this is when you get a little bit more irritable, a little less patient or easygoing, or the fuse is shorter, the blood boils a little quicker. These little things you otherwise wouldn't be bothered by are like super irritating or unbearable. That is the high pitta in the summertime. And it's terrible. It's like definitely not a good thing. It's something that's not fun to experience. But if it's left unchecked and not only making you not that fun to be around, but you're also not having that fun. You're not really enjoying your experience of life. It's like you're more kind of like irritated or pissed off. And that's honestly kind of a crappy way to experience what can really be one of the funnest and most adventurous or carefree times of the year, is summer and into early autumn. And so I think it's good to like look at this and like what the challenges are that we have when we experience too much heat or fire or pitta in the body, because it helps us really like drop into what our ways of living, what our actions are bringing forth and exemplifying in our bodies and minds. And if we look at, you know, like the dark part of it, like the shadow of, you know, if pitta is giving you stomach ulcers or a hot temper or you're being irritable or controlling, it's like important for us to like really presence into that, into these negative issues that have been created, so that we can be that much more determined and committed to taking the steps and the action that's required for us not to experience these things and to improve our life and improve our health. So what I can tell you is that the prevention and alleviation of high pitta is really possible, and it's definitely like something that we can do on our, you know, something we can do through like natural, easy lifestyle changes and natural ways of living. Lifestyle practices, diet, orientation, outlook, and some basic daily care, and you can feel more cool and calm and collected, not only all through the summer, but all the way into autumn. And one of my clients wrote me a nice email, and she stated, "Thank you for your information. Everything you said is so useful for a healthy and radiant life. I started doing the Abhyanga recently and also following some of your advices on the daily life, and it's had great effects in my whole system. I've been having my pitta quite unbalanced, and these little changes in my habits have had a very beneficial effect," which is really awesome to hear. And it's like I love getting these letters or notes or replies from people that I work with, because it just makes me feel happy to know that they've experienced a change and experienced the benefit of being committed to themselves, and that Ayurveda can help them. And at the same time, it's like I'm not surprised, because it's like when you do commit to it, you do notice the changes and the benefits, and everyone does. So it's really nice to hear, and it's really it makes me feel really happy and good, and it's something that I want to share with you guys, to see that these little lifestyle changes and habit changes and diet changes and stuff like that, why they might seem kind of minuscule, they are powerful and they are impactful. So what I want to share with you during this short time is three basic concepts with a variety of ways to put them into action. And my solutions are cultivating clear channels, adopting an Ayurvedic diet, and living an easeful life are my top three solutions. So the first one, cultivating clear channels to stay cool. This is a practice to essentially start in the spring to alleviate all that is built up in the winter and keep our channels clear and open as the heat rises. Clear channels means spaciousness. Space is cold, and clarity arises for the cool. Clarity allows for the cool flow of energy. Clogged channels equals heat, inflammation, and irritability. So to keep the channels clear, you can practice an early light dinner, a proper morning routine, and ensuring that there's no ama building up in your system. And ama is like a film or a plaque or a toxin from essentially from anything that's undigested in your body. So the first one, early light dinner, allows all of our food to be digested and move through the first portion of the GI tract, which is our main channel, before going to sleep at night. And like I said earlier, pitta time of day is 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. So the bile, or pitta, is strongest at noon, and this is the best time of day to have the biggest meal of the day. This way we have all of this acid, this intensified fire, to digest the food that we're taking in the middle of the day. And so we have like our biggest portion of food around noon when the pitta is strongest, and then when there's less bile available in our system in the evening times, we're just having something a little bit more light and nourishing, more of a supplement to the supper. That way, during the second phase of pitta, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., the liver and blood can be cleansed and clear, and the metabolic fires of pitta can burn, transform, and maintain clarity in all the more subtle channels, cells, and tissues in the body. So then you're dropping into both the pitta energies and honoring that cycle in nature through each day. And the second part is your morning rituals. In Ayurveda, the dinacharya, or daily rhythm, is huge. It's really important. And everyday practices that we do like over and over again, even all the little tiny things, they can have a huge impact on your overall well-being and your ultimate health. So the first thing when you wake up is to lay in bed and just give thanks or say a prayer or drop into your kind of like cosmic or worldly perspective or like whatever it is for you to kind of like orient yourself into the gift of the day that's been given to you and setting out like intention or a positive vibration into what you can do for the world and what the world is doing for you. Then you wake up and go to the bathroom. You scrape your tongue with a tongue scraper, brush your teeth, and wash your face. And if you don't go poop first thing in the morning, you have to train your body to make that happen. This practice empties out all of the waste from yesterday, opening up one of the biggest main channels of the body, that GI tract. We call it the Sushumna. We call that the digestive tract. And so you're opening that up, that main channel, and creating space. And you're letting go of all of that waste and, like, releasing that. And you're preventing anything from being reabsorbed into your body, into your system, or from carrying that waste around for the rest of the day or later into the day. And drinking coffee or tea to go poop is not okay. That's not a healthy practice for your body. And especially if you have high pitta, using caffeine to go to the bathroom is not going to help you, and it's not going to help alleviate your pitta symptoms. So instead, what you can do is have a lot of filtered water, which can be like 1 liter or even up to 2 liters of water. And it can be hot with lemon water if you want, with lemon juice, or you can just drink it plain filtered water. And so this practice of drinking the hot water with lemon also flushes out the system and flushes out all the channels to keep everything clear and free and open. And the third suggestion for clear channels is to make sure that you have no ama in your system that is clogging you up. And ama is essentially this undigested food material. It's kind of like a filmy, white, plaquey substance or toxin that can get built up in the body. And it's basically from essentially not digesting your foods that you're taking in or any excessive sensory experience or emotions. And so when you scrape your tongue in the morning with your tongue scraper, you can examine to see if it has a white coating. And the more of a white coating that you see, the more ama is in your system. So you're just getting used to reading your body and presencing into what's going on. And ama on your tongue is, or the white coating on your tongue is like one of the surefire symptoms that you have ama in your body. Your tongue reflects that whole channel, from the tongue through the mouth, the esophagus, the stomach, small intestine, large intestine, all the way through the colon to the anus, that main channel that I've been talking about. What's happening within that entire channel can be reflected on your tongue through different little symptoms or signs that show up on the tongue. And having that white coating can reflect what's happening in any part of that digestive system. So if you do have white coating, you're basically the easiest thing to do is lightening up your diet, your digestive load, so that you're able to digest whatever it is you're taking in. And that's going to help reduce the ama or the undigested food material. Which leads us to our second concept of adopting an Ayurvedic diet. And one of the main fundamentals of an Ayurvedic diet is to eat whole, natural, plant-based foods. And everything you eat should basically be recognizable and in its most natural, complete state. So fresh fruits, vegetables, high-quality fats, protein and whole grains are what's best. Anything that's canned, frozen, processed, or artificial is basically like out the window. And so the more natural and complete that it is, the more that your body's able to take it in and digest it and assimilate it and create healthy tissues and healthy cells in its complete kind of like unique, natural way. The second fundamental is to eat what's in season. And summer foods, that's what's kind of coming from like the summer garden, are naturally pitta pacifying. And so it's like the earth is just giving us exactly what we want, what we need each time of the year, like what balances us perfectly is like what the earth is gifting us to keep us balanced and feeling like amazing and feeling great, which is a really cool it's like a really beautiful thing. And I think it's really beautiful how Ayurveda taps into that. It's like what we need to feel better from like the heat of the summer is coming straight from the summer harvest. And so that includes juicy sweet fruits like peaches and plums and pears, apples and grapes, melons, sweet veggies, like zucchinis and sweet potatoes, summer squashes, sweet peas, green beans, all of those. The cooling veggies, whole grains, and leafy greens. Leafy greens are amazing for high pitta and for cleansing the channels, keeping clear channels, keeping you cool, cleansing the blood, cooling the blood. Cilantro especially, but all of those like kale and the different lettuces and butter lettuces and they're also like all of these things are really high in the water content to keep you hydrated. And the tastes that you want to emphasize are sweet, bitter, and astringent, which are basically all of those main summer foods I just suggested. And the tastes to avoid or reduce are pungent, salty, and sour. So anything that's spicy, that's overly salty, or the sour taste. Increase the fire and the pitta in your body. So you'll want to like reduce those. The more pitta that you have, that you experience, the more unbalanced you are, the more you're going to want to cut those out of your diet. And the last suggestion on adopting an Ayurvedic diet is to not eat inflammation-causing foods. And so the inflammatory foods, the basic ones that are the most, have like the biggest impact on our body, are sugar, wheat, cow dairy, unhealthy fat, GMOs, and alcohol. So it's the same thing as like you might think, oh, like a nice like cocktail after work or, you know, on Saturday night is like really going to help me chill out and relax. But alcohol, if you have alma in your system, if you're dried out, or you have hot blood, alcohol is going to like basically send like a raging fire to your system, to your liver and your blood, and make all of those symptoms like 10 times worse. So you kind of just have to tap into like whatever it is that you might be using that you shouldn't, or what you feel like you have more of a reaction to first, whether that be sugar, wheat, the cow dairy, unhealthy fats, or GMOs or alcohol, and just eliminate them potentially like one by one as you're able, and like slowly cut them out. Or if you're able to do it all at once, that's great too. And the third concept that I want to suggest is to have an easeful life. An easeful life doesn't necessarily mean you completely revamp your lifestyle, but it's one of the first and most important things is to adjust your orientation to life. My idea is that you create your life perspective. You can cultivate your mood, and you can take responsibility for shaping your reality. So as a practice, what I suggest to you is to regularly, with intention, soften and relax into your life no matter what is arising. I think it's just like a beautiful practice to really be with whatever is stressful or challenging or fun and enjoying or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But as you just shift your intention and your orientation to whatever it is that's happening, you can experience greater and greater ease and love and simplicity and equanimity. It doesn't mean that you won't experience stress or things won't be stressful in your life or you won't feel overscheduled or overworked or underappreciated or, you know, high demands for you or whatever it is. That just means that as those things are showing up, you can be aware of them and relax into them as much as you can. And that not only shifts how things are arising in your life, but it shifts how you experience or respond to things that are arising in your life, then it shifts how things respond to you or what's happening, what's given to you in the world is the bigger concept of it. The next part of creating easeful life is as part of your dinacharya or your daily rhythm, you create time for rest, relaxation, fun, and playfulness in the evening. So as the energy of the earth is winding down and the sun begins to set, we sync up with this influential energy and start to wind down ourselves. So evening just becomes this like beautiful time to like let go and simply enjoy your summer. So you can put aside your work for the night, have an early light dinner, and just like go play outside, go for a little walk, maybe hang out in the garden, maybe sit back on your back patio and have, you know, your lemonade spritzer, take a bath, read a book, chill out with the family, play with the kids, do a puzzle, whatever it is that you're kind of putting aside your work for the day or putting aside your goals and your aspirations of whatever other kind of things are driving you. You let them go and make time for this like rest and relaxation to allow that kind of softness and that easefulness to flow in and create that balance in your life. If you're working late, you're basically leading yourself into burnout. And burnout is the equation for bad pitta. And thirdly, you can create a meditation and pranayama practice in your dinacharya, your daily rhythm. And meditation is like a beautiful practice, a beautiful way to help us open up, soften, and relax into your entire being. A daily, regular practice is most beneficial, even if it's only for a couple of minutes at first, but doing it consistently day after day is going to be better for you than doing it just 20 minutes sporadically or kind of trying to take off a bite off a chunk that's too big or you're not capable of like maintaining a commitment to it. So just doing a little couple of minutes of a practice at first is your best ticket to experiencing, letting the momentum build up and experiencing more success with it, experiencing more of the benefits. So as part of meditation, you can also do pranayama, which is a practice of breath control. And that essentially is there's a variety of different breathing exercises that you can do to help ease and soften and eliminate your excess of pitta, and also create more of like a cooling, calming, natural healing effect on the body. And Chandra Bedi, a form of pranayama that means moon simulation, is really helpful to cool and calm your entire system. And Chandra Bedi, what it does is it focuses on your Ida Nadi, which is the main bodily channel relating to your cooling nature and feminine aspects. There are three, I guess I keep referring to these channels in the body, so I'll just kind of touch on that for a second. There's an Ayurveda, we know about 72,000 channels throughout the body, some of them being like really, really big and really obvious, such as like the GI tract, and then some of them are very, very subtle and more like an energetic channel. And if you're familiar with acupuncture, acupuncture operates on the same system as the meridians. And our concept, our Ayurvedic concept of meridians is nadis, of these channels. And so we want to keep these channels clear and open so the energy can flow in like a natural, balanced way. And like I said, as they're cool and open, the spaciousness creates the opportunity for you to stay cool within your body. And Ida, the three of the main energetic channels are your Sushumna, Ida, and Pingala. And Sushumna is the main channel that goes through all of your seven chakras, and it is overlapping with your spinal column. And then Ida and Pingala are two smaller channels that intertwine, starting from the second chakra, spiraling up, crisscrossing each other in between each chakra until they reach the crown of your head. And Ida represents the feminine energy, and Pingala represents the masculine energy. And you can access those by breathing through each different nostril. And so Chandra Bedi focuses on the Ida Nadi. So what you do is you basically you pinch off, you breathe, you inhale through your left nostril to bring in the cooling energy to the left side of your brain, and then pinch the left nostril and exhale through the right nostril. So basically to practice that, you just sit in a meditative posture, sit with your feet flat on the ground or cross-legged in a pretzel, and rest your sit bones into the earth, into your chair, and sit with your spine tall and the top of your head stretched towards the ceiling or the sky. And then you use your thumb and ring finger to pinch your nostrils on your right hand. And you pinch off your right nostril and inhale through your left nostril. And take a slow, deep, steady breath. And then you pause at the top and pinch off your left nostril. And then slowly exhale down through your body through the right nostril. And then switch again and inhale through the left nostril, filling your belly and the bottom of your lungs with breath, filling the top of your lungs with breath, and inhaling all the way up to the top of your spine, pausing, pinching off the left nostril and exhaling slowly, releasing everything through your right nostril. And you continue that practice for about 200 breaths or a couple of minutes. And like I said, it's the same as meditation. The more consistent you can do it on a more regular basis, the better you will feel, the more benefits you will feel, and the better it will be for your entire system. And if you do pranayama first, it's a really great way to step into your meditative practice, as it really centers, calms and cools the mind. So those are just a few snippets into the world of Ayurveda and all the different ways you can experience greater health and transformation. And while this information is hopefully very interesting and useful to you, to me, it's uncertain that it's only part of the formulation for success. It's like right now we're living in a very information, we're living in an information age, and there's not like any shortage of knowledge available to you on how you feel better and how to enhance your life. It's like there's so much out there. But what I do think you need to do to make a difference is having a plan of action on how to incorporate the information available to you, having support and guidance on taking the action, having accountability, and having a group of peers who are in the same wavelength, who are making changes in their life to also transform how they feel. So it's way more than just information. And a big part about it is uncovering your patterns that brought you to where you're at today and systematically shifting the pattern to experience a transformation into health and wellness. In my training as a health coach, I can help you unlock these old ways and walk you into your new ways of being. It's like if your old ways got you to where you're at now, we need to look at those and how they got built up and kind of bring in our new lifestyle practices and new diet practices and self-care and exercise routines and meditation or yoga or pranayama or prayer, whatever it is for you, and to kind of like systematically add in new ways and new tools to help you get to the new place of where you want to go. It's like when we keep on reoccurring these old ways, that's just going to repetitively get us to where we're already at. So if you're interested in investing in yourself to experience a radical change and alter your potential for not only this like short-term future, but honestly like as a trajectory that never really ends, that can just continually to improve upon the way you experience life, you know, for like years and years to come, I would love to talk with you one-on-one in person. My next 10-week course that I'm doing for yoga health coaching is starting on July 22nd, and that's where we focus on all of these little tips that I gave you, plus so much more, plus much bigger Ayurveda concepts, where we focus on a different concept each week. And that is paired with, I'm talking about the system of habit change science so that you're able to take on these new, more natural solutions that help to alter your health, but taking on these suggestions and taking on this information in a very systematic way that assists you in making the changes. And these changes we do in like a very slow, repetitive fashion that slowly builds up momentum until they can automate into your life, and it's not something new anymore. It's just something that you simply do. And so you learn not only these Ayurveda habits and tips and lifestyle guidelines, but you learn how to make changes in your mind and your body. Like you learn the tools and how to make these changes in this course, but in anything else you want to make in your life. And that's why learning these practices and taking this course doesn't just impact you for the short term of, you know, like learning how to have an Ayurvedic diet, but it like teaches you how you experience success or how you experience change in these new principles, but in all the rest of the principles that you want to incorporate in for the rest of your life. And it's really, really amazing. So it's like no matter how old you are now, it's going to help you age and feel that much better in your body in such a more graceful way. So up until July 20th, I'll be doing 30-minute strategy sessions where we talk about what's going on with you and what Ayurveda and yoga health coaching can potentially do to help you and how it could maybe impact how you're feeling and how you're experiencing your health and your life. So each of these strategy sessions is worth about $50, but I'm going to do 7 free sessions for the first people that sign up, and I'll keep taking sessions, doing sessions with people up until July 22nd. And after July 22nd, I'm going to be focusing on anyone that signs up for the course and putting all the energy into that. So the strategy sessions will be closed for the rest of the summer. So I just suggest you get in while you can. And if you're curious, sign up now, and then we can you'll get one of the freebie sessions. And I would just love to connect with you and hear what's going on for you and where we can potentially go together. So, that's essentially everything that I've put together for you guys for this free talk. And if anybody has any questions or comments, that's on the line. The floor is yours, and I'd love to hear from you if you have anything you'd like to add in or like to know further about. We have about a small handful of people here. And if you have no questions, that's fine too. If you're curious about reaching out to schedule a strategy session, you can just send me an email or reach out on Facebook. And I'll also have a link that you can click on in my newsletter. And that goes straight to my scheduling software. And you can schedule a session right through there. And yeah, it's been great. I'm really glad for all of you that are here for the talk and for those that will be listening to the recording. It's really wonderful to share this with you. And if you have any questions about any of this stuff, please let me know. And like I said, I would love to do one of those sessions with you to kind of really actually help you take on this information and any of the information that I give in any of these free talks for you to really start to experience the change in your life and experiencing more of how you want to feel. I think Ayurveda has the potential to go far with everybody no matter where they're at. And that's just like one of the things that I really witnessed about being interning at the clinical, the hospital in Ayurveda, the Ayurvedic hospital in India. It's like the stuff is powerful, like herbs and diet and food and medicines and this dinacharya or lifestyle rhythms. It's a very, very powerful thing. So I want to share that with you. I think it's a blessing and a gift. And if you want to connect, just let me know. But otherwise, I hope you all have a beautiful Tuesday afternoon or evening. And thank you again for joining, and I hope to talk to you soon. So thank you. Have a great day.